This is Radio Superior 1942, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1942. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1942. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
Broadcasting from the land of beautiful lakes, you are tuned to station KUWS. This is Jack McKenna speaking. A blessed Thanksgiving to you and yours. It's Thursday, all right, November the 26th, 1942. 6 o'clock standard wartime. Time for the news with Lou Martin. The news is brought to you by Fort Hopkins Drugstore with bargains galore. Good evening, Lou. I was kind of hoping someone would bring a nice Thanksgiving dish over today.
No such luck, I'm afraid. We'll have to fend for ourselves.
I brought a can opener.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, Jack, and to you, good listeners. We're following three major stories from around the globe this November evening. Russia's steel trap is closing on the Nazis at Stalingrad, and the Allied drive in North Africa continues into Tunisia, and in the Pacific, bitter jungle fighting continues to push Japanese troops away from Port Moresby near Australia. We have this shortwave radio roundup recorded earlier today by the Mutual Broadcasting System from correspondents in different war zones around the globe.
This is Tunis calling. Allied aerial assaults of the mounting violence attended a Morocco radio report that the grand offensive against Tunisian strongholds of the Axis was imminent Thursday. United States Army P-38 fighters were officially credited with destruction of 14 German and Italian planes and a tank in forays Tuesday. And although four were damaged by enemy guns and one pilot was wounded, all returned safely. Amid these preliminaries of the battle for control of Tunisia and the Mediterranean Narrows, a Madrid dispatch to the London Daily Mail said the Germans were piling up fighters and bombers in great numbers in the Bizerte-Tunis zone. Tanks and motorized units also are being poured in, the Vichy radio reported. The German intention to sacrifice Tripoli if necessary and concentrate all available strength on holding the Tunisian peninsula is becoming daily more evident, the Madrid dispatch said. The Morocco radio said the ground assault upon Tunisia and Bizerte was about to be launched by the legions of Lieutenant General K.A.N. Anderson, made up of the British First Army, an American force headed by Major General George S. Patton, Jr., and supporting French regiments. A German column was declared thrown back in fighting 28 miles south of Tunis, the capital. This is Wes Gallagher calling from Tunis. Over. Come on in, Stalingrad. Come on in, Stalingrad.
This is Stalingrad calling. The German command threw all its available air forces into battle and buried its tanks in groups of 30 to 50 along an outer ring of defenses. In a desperate attempt to halt the advance of the Red Army, which was slowly drawing the strings on a giant bag about Stalingrad. As the Russian offenses on each side of Stalingrad entered the eighth day, it had become clear that the Germans have decided not to withdraw from Stalingrad, although the flanks of their forces have been laid bare. While Axis losses of the still young Red Army offense pushed toward a quarter of a million, latest battle reports show. While the shadow of disaster lengthened across the estimated 300,000 Axis soldiers, still at the three-month job of battering Stalingrad, Berlin radio reported heavy Russian offensive action west of Moscow. This is C. Yates McDaniel calling from Stalingrad. Come in New Guinea. Come in Port Moresby.
This is Port Moresby calling. Today, Allied bombers sank two troop-laden Japanese destroyers and damaged a third, possibly fatally last night, to wreck the third enemy attempt within a week to reinforce the battered Bunagona lines against American and Australian attacks. The official list of Japanese warcraft sacrificed since last Thursday night in efforts to retrieve Lieutenant General Tamatori Hori's forces on their narrowing coastal strip thus rose to one cruiser, four destroyers, and two landing boats sunk. One destroyer blasted heavily and probably sunk. One destroyer damaged. Be beaten back mile by mile, Japanese ground forces nevertheless put up a bitter fight from a jungle front 12 miles long and from 1/2 to 3 miles deep. Zero fighters appeared again to lend the Japanese troops aerial support after an absence of several days. Allied flyers, likewise, were in constant action. Port Moresby, the major Allied base in New Guinea, was reported raided twice in the night by a single enemy aircraft, which dropped bombs harmlessly in the brush. This is Daryl Berrigan speaking from Port Moresby, New Guinea.
Through the modern technology of shortwave radio, that is our mutual broadcasting system, World Report. As Allied forces fight through French North Africa, the vaunted Afrika Korps is fighting for its life near Tripoli. British troops, led by General Sir Bernard Montgomery, are attacking remnants of the German Field Marshal Rommel's tank battalions. Rommel is expected to make what could be a final stand at a desert outpost called El Agilia, or make a dash to Tripoli. Rommel continues to suffer from RAF attacks on ships trying to supply the Axis forces. From London, we have this report of khaki-clad doughboys filling ancient Westminster Abbey to overflowing. A solemn Thanksgiving ceremony made history, since for the first time in its 900-year history, Westminster Abbey had been turned over to outsiders. Within the battered walls, boarded-up windows and sandbags protecting ancient altars betrayed the grimness of modern war. The stars and stripes were slowly borne up the aisle and placed on a high altar. U.S. Ambassador John Winnett then read a Thanksgiving statement from President Roosevelt. It expressed gratitude for the first Allied victories in the Pacific and in North Africa, and the courageous spirit of our people and our allies. And we quote, "We can count ourselves among those who love mercy and justice and believe that one day these things will prevail." And in London, churches across Britain are turned over to Americans for our day of Thanksgiving. Meanwhile, the former Republican presidential candidate in 1940, Wendell Willkie, says we must come together with an understanding of what this war is for and what we hope for the world once it's over. Wilkie says without that plan, we will still be a nation against nation, regardless of military outcomes. Fort Hopkins News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna now has a word from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lou. Yes, if it doesn't happen at Fort Hopkins, it just doesn't happen. I'm referring, of course, to some great bargains at the drugstore. Cigarettes, for example, now cut down to 13 cents a pack. Chocolate-covered cherries, 29 cents a pound. And very soon, you know, we'll be needing those Christmas cards again, folks. You can get 50 for 97 cents at Fort Hopkins. Baby needs rubber nipples, 2 for 7 cents. All these wonderful things at Fort Hopkins and so much, much more available now at low prices every day. Fort Hopkins Drug in Superior. And remember, folks, gifts to servicemen must be mailed by next Monday.
The honor roll of the Barksdale TNT Works continues to grow, good listeners. 68 workers at the DuPont Dynamite Plant in Bayfield County are now in the service of Uncle Sam. Alfred Bratley, Alvin Erickson, Ingvar Holter, Oscar and James Larson, and Theodore Torkelson are among the latest to join the United States Armed Forces. Most of the men are from nearby Washburn and Bayfield. And Uncle Sam appreciates this one. In a ceremony next Tuesday at the Dodd Gym in Ashland, the Army-Navy E. Pennant will be awarded to the Barksdale DuPont TNT Works. Noted radio commentator Cedric Adams from the Twin Cities will be the master of ceremonies. Plant Director of Production F.R. Wilson makes some remarks, and the Star-Spangled Banner will be performed by the Ashland High School Band. Superior Sassner brothers face liquor law violation charges. Harry and Joseph Sassner are charged with employing a woman in their Class B tavern, a violation of liquor laws. Both pled innocent and paid a $100 bail. The Sassner brothers' hearing is December the 1st. Well, winter weather's rolling into town, but it can't chill the Thanksgiving warmth in upper Wisconsin. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has today's story. Good Thanksgiving to you, Mike.
And a very happy Thanksgiving to you, Lou. At the church is heavily attended. Every denomination heard thanks given to God, and the Hammond Avenue Presbyterian Church was crowded with those attending the union service held there. Superior did not forget about the Doughboys in the vicinity either, as a number of local families invited boys from Camp Patterson to share the feast, and three boys were to be chosen Thursday afternoon to call their parents or their sweethearts in any part of the country at the Servicemen's Center, which is holding open house today. Even Thanksgiving could not interfere with the war effort, which kept rallying here as workers at the shipyards kept the wheels humming. But that didn't mean that they'd forgotten the day, its significance, or, for that matter, its food. Grocery stores have been jammed this week as consumers bought all the fixins', and even the fact that turkey prices were sky high didn't prevent their sale. Lou, did you get in on any of the turkey or trimmings yet?
Well, I'm afraid not. I suspect it'll be a turkey roll at the Black Cat Cafe instead.
Say it isn't so, Lou. I was thinking you'd have a bird in the oven. So when we got off work, we'd have a wishbone to wish upon.
Sorry, Jack, I've just been too busy with the war news.
I understand. Maybe Harriet will have us over.
Well, we'll see. The chairman of the Wisconsin Defense Council is urging bells and whistles to ring and blow on December the 7th, the first anniversary of the Japanese sneak attack on Pearl Harbor. Ralph Kingsley says that factory whistles and church bells should be sounded at exactly 1:30 in the afternoon. Citizens should stand at attention for 30 seconds in honor of the many lost in that attack and the battles that followed. Well, sounds like a good way to show the world that the attack on Pearl Harbor only strengthened our resolve as a country to defeat a common enemy.
It seems like it's been so much longer than a year ago. So much has happened. So much has changed. Well, thanks, Lou, with the 6 o'clock news. And good friends, let's turn our attention to that cold forecast from the United States Weather Bureau for this Thanksgiving Day, November the 26th, 1942. Today's high temperature was actually pretty nice, everything considered. 42 degrees in Superior, 34 in Duluth. But the low tonight is expected to be around 10 degrees. Ooh, boy. Heck, in a month we'll think this weather is a heat wave. For those of you with your fill of turkey and trimmings, just sit back now and enjoy the fine big band sound of Isham Jones in Stompin' at the Savoy from 1936 on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUW. just enjoyed Isham Jones and Stompin' at the Savoy. Woody Herman on the reeds on station KUWS. Hey, friends, if you're a little restless, why don't you head on over to the Black Bear Lounge in the Hotel Duluth? Now appearing nightly at the Black Bear is Ken Heck. Now, Ken is at the console of the Hammond vibratone organ. Great music. Come on down to downtown Duluth and hear him play your favorite requests at the Black Bear Lounge, Hotel Duluth. And if you're bound for Superior, why, check out the Ritz Nightclub. They have three floor shows nightly at the Ritz, so dine and dance with fun for all at the Ritz. Wonder if they're serving turkey in the trimmings tonight. Well, I say the weirdest things when my stomach does my thinking for me. So let's get back to the big band hits of 1942. This is Vaughn Monroe and his signature song, Racing with the Moon, on station KUWS.
Racing with the moon, high up in the midnight blue, and then all too soon, it's lost from
the big hit sound of Vaughn Monroe and Racing with the Moon from 1941 on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. And coming up tomorrow night after the Martin and McKenna Show, it's Superman, then Dark Destiny, the Cisco Kid, and then Let's Dance with Benny Goodman and his orchestra on station KUWS. Lots of fun on your Philco every Friday night right here, friends. Hey, Lou.
I've just got a note from Mr. and Mrs. Michael Mickelson of 1316 and a half Ogden Avenue in Superior. They just got word that their son, Raymond, has been promoted from staff sergeant to technical sergeant. Hey, that's a nice Thanksgiving present for Mom and Dad.
Well, our congratulations to Tech Sergeant Mickelson. Hey, Lou, have you heard from Harriet? Any goodies in the firing oven? A big brown bird, maybe?
And baked yams and cooked cranberries?
Ooh, and gravy and pickled herring and onions.
Well, not at the same time. Not altogether, I hope. Anyway, she's just getting her coat and hat off right now. Hey, you be sure and be extra special nice, Jack.
Oh, yeah, or it's spam for the both of us this Thanksgiving. Nothing against that wartime delicacy, mind you.
I just hope that Harriet has been busy today.
Now, here's a tune, speaking of busy, a tune full of hope, friends. This is Artie Shaw and his orchestra, always busy with that clarinet, now with Begin the Begin on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS. Here's hoping for some turkey and trimmings with the music of Artie Shaw and Begin the Begin on Station KUWS.
And here's the one and only
world's greatest community editor,
the lovely Harriet Farrakh.
Harriet, been busy today? You know, gobble, gobble.
Well, let's give her a chance to deliver the good news of our community, Jack. Hey, you're a little flushed, my dear.
Oh, Louis, it's been such a day. Turkey, cranberries, yams, mashed potatoes, gravy, and stuffing.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Pickled herrings and onions.
Catch me, Lou. I'm feeling dizzy.
Goodness. What's with Jack?
Well, his stomach is thinking for him again.
Oh, not again.
Any pumpkin pie, Harriet?
Of course, with homemade whipped cream on top.
Oh.
I've got you, old buddy. You'd better sit down.
Oh, dear.
Well, you know, he's fine, Harriet. It's more happiness than anything. You'd better go ahead and do your news.
He has kind of a wistful look on his face. Well, The National Defense Mothers Club will hold an open house next Tuesday at the Douglas County Historical Museum. This should be so interesting. Articles sent home to mothers at Superior from boys in the service will be on display, along with photographs of each son in uniform. President Alma McQueen will make the opening remarks. Gold Star mothers will be honored, and there will be a sing-along with light refreshments afterward. You know, it's a lonely Thanksgiving for many families this year, with their sons and daughters away to protect our way of life. But don't ever underestimate the strength of sisterhood and motherhood. And what's really touching is that many homes in Superior and Duluth open their doors to servicemen and women stationed in our region. And here's another interesting story about a little Norwegian chest believed to have traveled from Norway to this country. It was built in Haugesund, Norway, in 1700 by Severin Thomsen's great-great-grandfather and brought to this country by Mr. Thomsen's grandfather in 1840. Now that very chest has been donated to the Douglas County Historical Museum. It still has iron bands and heavy iron hinges held together by old-fashioned square nails. The paint is worn off, but the lock and key are in perfect condition. A great gift, Lewis.
A 242-year-old trunk from Norway. Boy, if that trunk could talk.
We probably couldn't understand it anyway. It might ask what Harriet has planned for all that turkey and fixin' stuff.
Oh, I don't have any. I wish I did. I'm kind of hungry. Especially after working all morning in the Swedish Salvation Army kitchen and then serving all that luscious food to the veterans of World War I. They're all bachelors, you know. No family.
Well, it's very good of you and the Salvation Army to remember the doughboys.
Jack's looking kind of faint again, Lewis.
He was kind of hoping that you'd have a nice turkey spread for us.
Well, I don't know if a can of Spam will go very far three ways, but you're welcome to join us, Harriet.
Oh, you poor boys.
We're poor boys, Jack.
You can't eat sympathy. One more song for the night, and then we'll turn things over to Superman. This is Glenn Miller and his orchestra from 1940, the Woodpecker Song on station KUWS.
Up each morning bright and early to wake up all the neighborhood, to bring to every boy and girlie his happy serenade onward. Hear him picking out a melody, peck, peck, pecking at the same old tree. He's as happy as a bumblebee all day long. Come on and try that rhythm. Just let your heart beat with them. And when you hear that tick-a-tick-tick-tick-a-tick-tick-tick-a-tick-tick, sing right along. To serenade your lady, just find a tree that's shady and listen to that tick-a-tick-tick-tick-a-tick-tick, happy little woodpecker song.
Fine music of Glenn Miller and vocals by Marion Hutton on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. You know, Lou, The best part of Thanksgiving is being with friends and family.
Well, you know, as Harriet pointed out, this war is keeping many families from sitting down together this Thanksgiving. So we are lucky.
We do have lots to be thankful for, Lou. We can be on this radio every day and not have someone in government telling us what we can and can't say.
We can come and go as we please.
And worship the way we choose.
So it's a good Thanksgiving after all, isn't it, folks? Spam and all.
Say, someone's at the door.
You guys are breaking my heart. I heard enough whining from McKenna, but then Martin chimed in and I just couldn't take it anymore.
Douglas County Draft Board Number 2 Chairman, Colonel Raffaele. Happy Thanksgiving, sir.
Yeah, good Thanksgiving, Colonel. I guess we were kind of feeling sorry for her.
Well, if self-pity won wars, you two would be our top recruits. Tojo wouldn't have a chance. Well, anyways, I brought you two characters some leftovers.
I smell turkey and stuffing.
Jeez, it's not even in the room. You and your snouts twitching away, McKenna. You've never disappointed me.
Goodness me, how thoughtful, Colonel Raffaele.
Well, Miss Farrig, I heard how you were volunteering all day with Blackjack Pershing's boys, and bless you for that. Thing is, we put on a good feed for the soldiers down at Camp Pattison just outside of town, and, you know, well, me and the boys at the BFW and the Blomberg Post weren't going to let these fine young Americans go without the best on their first Thanksgiving away from home.
Goodness, how sweet!
So we dug a pit, smoked 235 pounds of turkey for them.
So the men at Camp Pattison Military Police Barracks, well, they got their fill today, thanks to you local veterans.
Yeah, well, we're all Americans, Martin. I figured I could bring back a spare turkey or two.
Or two? Oh.
Jack's looking wistful again, Lewis.
What on earth?
He's all right.
Well, we've got plenty of leftovers. There's tomato soup, olive, celery, pickles, including pickled herring.
Well, friends, looks like we're out of time for another edition of McMartin and McKenna.
Hey, we still have a minute left.
Well, yeah, and there's canned sweet potatoes, relish, vegetables, gravy rolls, pumpkin pie, coffee.
With whipped cream?
Jeez, I don't think I've ever seen anyone quite so excited over food before.
Take a look at Lou. He's already stuffed a towel around his neck for a bib.
He spills it, does he?
Well, you could say he has a weak chin.
Do not.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And it's a cute chin, Lewis.
Well, for Harriet and Colonel Raffaele, this is Jack McKenna with lots of Thanksgiving for everyone. Thanks, Colonel. You're all right in my book.
Get your hands off of me, McKenna.
Good night.
This is Radio Superior 1942, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research by Sarah Dorman. Harriet Farrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances provided by Tom Martinson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1932 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1942. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.